Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Healing School on a beautiful Thursday morning here in Macon, Georgia at High Point Church. I'm Minton Williams, a member here, and I have the honor this morning of sharing God's Word with you. And so we want to welcome those of you who are here with us in person today, but also those of you who are online with us. Healing School, we started back in 2015 with an intent to train people who believe in healing to be able to minister to others and to also have an opportunity to minister to those who are sick. So for you online today, if either of those fit you, then you ought to be excited because I believe God's got a good word for us that's going to encourage us to go out and be His hands in this world. But also, if you have a need, I'm convinced that for those here, that same anointing will come through into your room or on that device that you're watching at home. So let me pray and we'll get started this morning. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share your word. Father, you tell us in your word in Proverbs 4:22 that your word brings health to our flesh. And so we declare that right now. Your word, as we speak this morning, will be bringing health to our flesh, those here and those who are watching with us. Father, I thank you that people won't just hear my voice, but they'll hear the voice of the Holy Spirit teaching them as we go through what you've shown me this morning. And as they do, we'd say that they will be changed. So I just declare, when we hear this word, we will never be the same again. And it's in the precious name of our Lord Jesus that we pray. Amen. This morning, the Lord has given me the topic of talking about forgiveness and healing, as they are the same gospel. You can't separate it. And I know there are many people now who, as we approach a time of Easter season and Resurrection Sunday, who'll say, yeah, I know all about that. That's where Jesus died on the cross and he forgave my sins and I get to go live with him in heaven. But what we want to share with you today is on that cross, there was so much more that was accomplished than just a ticket to heaven. And so today we're going to focus in on healing. Now, you know, again, I often hear it said where people say, no, he doesn't do that anymore. It's just about he heals my spirit man. Well, no, he didn't heal your spirit man. When you were born again, you got a new spirit man. You were recreated, a new being in him. So I want us to kind of put that thought aside and let's let the Word of God teach us this morning. And we'll take what that word says, and then we'll be able to walk in it and receive all that he has got for us. I want you to go with me to Psalm 91, and we're going to look at the last several verses. We're going to start in verse 14. Now, I believe in Psalm 91 that this is the Father speaking, and all that has been said leads up to this. And look at what he says, because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. And let me encourage you with this verse to make it personal. I quote this one and I say, because Minton has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I put my name in this so that I see myself in this verse. And then verse 15 continues on and you want to do the same thing. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. And then this is a verse that I really want us to focus on, verse 16. And it says, with a long life will I satisfy him, and let him behold my salvation. So with a long life, and it doesn't say, a long life lived with sickness, a long life with all kind of things going on. It says a long life satisfied, where you're walking in His well-being, in the health that He provides, living that good life. And then it really ties in, though, to the last line where it says, let Him see my salvation. Because what you're going to see today, we're going to kind of go back to the basics and kind of stir ourselves back up. Because what you're going to see today is His salvation provides much, much more than that ticket to heaven. Well-being, safety, peace and healing, and a number of other things. So let me just remind you that this psalm, which these verses end up with, that satisfied life includes deliverance from deadly pestilence. Twice it uses that phrase. And then it uses the phrase of plagues. And so this is the result of us being delivered from those. It even talks about arrows being shot at and they won't harm you. And then finally, about we will even tread on cobras. So the snake bites won't even hurt us, as we've seen in the scripture with Paul. I want you to see, though, that Jesus values our body. Look with me at 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and we're going to read the 15th verse, and then we're going to jump down and read a few more. Now, I just want to read the first two lines that you see on the screen there for those of you who are looking at home. It says, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ?" And what's the implication there? Are members of Christ's body. Now, do you think that the Lord is going to take our bodies, bring us into the family where we are part of His body, and not have concern about our flesh? Look down with me at verse 19. We'll read 19 and 20. "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you, whom you have from God, and that you're not your own?" So we are more than just this flesh and blood. This flesh and blood body houses the very temple of God dwelling in me. And I just can't conceive that it's God's desire to live in a temple that's not fully blessed in every way you can think of. And I believe that's what verse 20 tells us. "For you have been bought, redeemed with a price." I would say brought out of, purchased out of the slave market of sin. And look at this last phrase. Not only have we been purchased out of that slave market of sin and been set free there, but look what it says to us. "Therefore, glorify God in your body." Now, as we go through Scripture today, I want you to look at, as we study a number of verses, what people gave glory for. And I'll give you a hint. You'll never find in the ministry of Jesus anybody giving glory to Him for sickness. Every time you're going to see it to the result of what He did. So you're important to Him. Now, I want you to see also, turn with me to Matthew 14. And we're going to look at three verses because I want you to get this picture that it's the heart of the Father for you to be well. If you are here, you can turn to your right and see there's a banner that says Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Jesus came to display the very nature, the very character of God through what He did. In fact, He said, "I manifested your name to him." And He did it through the works that He did. So look at what Matthew 14, verse 14 tells us here. "When He went ashore, He saw a large crowd, and He felt compassion for them, and He healed their sick." We're going to talk about that word compassion. It doesn't mean He felt sorry for them. He felt pity for them. He felt a love from deep inside Him that empowered Him to be able to minister healing to them. And we could look at five or six other verses that's similar to this, and most of them just go on and say, "And He healed them all." So it's not just one or two. He saw this large crowd. He felt compassion for them. And He healed, I would say, all their sick. Now let's look at a scripture in Acts, the 5th chapter, the 16th verse. Now in Acts, the disciples are there, and some would say, well, Jesus did the healing, and yeah, His disciples continued it. And I would say, yeah, you're right. But what I want to tell you is, it never stopped. It never ceased. Even though people say it passed away with the disciples, I say no, and the scripture is going to show us that. How did Luke introduce this book of Acts? He said, "I'm going to talk to you about all that Jesus began to do." So if Jesus began to do this, and we're going to see He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then who is supposed to be doing it today? You and I, and you who are listening. We all, it says, believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. But the key word there is we must believe what this word is telling us. So also the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits. Now this is talking about the disciples who are being sent out. And look at this last phrase. They were being afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. Now I want you to see, this is the nature, this is the heart of God for us. 1 John 3:8. In his epistle, John writes, and let me give it to you in the New Living Translation. I like this one. It says, "But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil." That's the purpose that Jesus appeared. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Let's think logically for a minute. If sickness were the will of God, then why would Jesus and his disciples and now us be doing anything that would get rid of sickness if that's the will of God? What does the scripture tell us? A house divided is going to just fall. It cannot stand. So even logic just tells us that sickness was not God's idea. Think back to Genesis with me in the creation. Think about Adam and Eve in the glory of that garden, walking with the Lord, fellowshipping with Him, when they would hear Him coming. It was perfect. There was no sickness. There was no disease. There was no lack. There was no want. They had everything they needed. And the Lord even concluded by saying, when He created man, it was very good. So we know that that's the Lord's will, because we don't see it in creation. But what happened? You say, well, why did sin and sickness get here? Well, God didn't just allow it. I would say Adam did. When he partook of that forbidden fruit, he brought sin and all its impact onto the earth. The earth itself is even cursed. What does Scripture say? The earth groans for you and I today to take our rightful place and overcome this curse that's in it. So sin and sickness is not God's idea. Now, I have a very simple theology, and I got this from my pastors in Tennessee, and the pastors that I have now, Pastor Trey and Robert, I know believe the same thing. Very simple. Good God, bad devil. And Jesus is on God's side. And you can put an exclamation point. There is no addition. There's no buts that come around after that. And isn't that what John 10:10 tells us? John 10:10, the thief does not come but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And then here's the words of the Master. I came that you might have life, and that you might have it abundantly. Now, I want to read you another translation and how it reads for this verse. A thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, to slaughter, and destroy. But I have come, Jesus is saying, to give you everything in abundance. I mean, in other words, all goodness in abundance, more than you expect. And then here's the way it concludes. Life in its fullness until you overflow. That's what He desires for us in this life today. That's not the sweet by and by. Yes, it will be that way there. But this is the desire that He has for us now. When did you become this eternal being? When you were born again. So why do you think, if we're praying kingdom of God come to the earth, will of God be done on the earth, why should not we be experiencing heaven on earth, even though we're in the midst of all this? Because He came to destroy the works of the devil. So I want to look at some scriptures now concerning healing. But I want to stay on this theme. Forgiveness and healing are part of the same good news, or part of the same gospel. They are the same. And you're going to see that as we go through this today. And we're going to emphasize continually too that my body matters. Jesus paid a terrible price for us to walk in this hell. So healing is His will. Let's go to Psalm 103. And again, we're going to see forgiveness, and we're going to see healing. We're going to see healing, and we're going to see forgiveness. Now, in this psalm, Well, let's just read it. We'll start. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And so I take this as let's give honor to him. Let's praise him. Let's magnify who he is. And then verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And then look at this last line. And forget none of his benefits. Now, what you're going to see is the benefits he's talking about are for today. Yes, that we're going to have heaven for an eternity with him. But these benefits are today. And you say, well, what are they? Well, let's keep reading. Verse 3. And this is really the heart and soul of what we're going to share with you this morning. Who pardons or who forgives all your iniquities or all your sins. And we most believers would say, yeah, I know that. But do we really? Because when he pardoned our sin, everything that sin brought with it was taken care of. Sickness no longer has a place in you. And that's exactly what this psalm says. Who pardons all your iniquities and who does what? Heals all your diseases. I am the God who healed you. Jehovah Rapha, he said that. Look at verse 4. It continues. He also says he redeems to buy out of the slave market our life from the pit. Now, the pit would have been our punishment if we received what we should have for our sins. But because of this free gift of life, the God kind of life, and I'm going to tell you that God kind of life does not include sickness, it doesn't include poverty, it doesn't include worry, and you can keep on building that list up. So we've been redeemed by the work of the cross from the pit. And look what else we get. Not only that, but he crowns us with loving kindness. Some translations say mercy. The word there is the word hesed in the Hebrew, which means covenant love. So we're talking about covenant, that God has committed himself to us for all these benefits. And with it is that compassion that we saw earlier. That's not, again, pity parties for somebody. It's that movement you have, that feeling of love down in your spirit, man, that motivates you to act in the manner that Jesus did. And then it concludes with what we're going to read here in verse 5. And says, who satisfies your years with good things. Now, is there anybody here, and you at home, I can't see your hands. But is there anybody here who would really say that sickness or disease of any form is a good thing? How can we think that I, as an earthly father, who have 3 sons, all married now and 7 grandkids, so how could I, as an earthly father or grandfather, wish anything but good on my kids? With that kind of mentality, if that was the way I viewed the way people talk about God putting stuff on folks, then I would have had my 3 sons taken away from me for abuse. So it just makes sense. He satisfies our years with good things so that our youth is renewed like an eagle. So again, what do we see here? Same gospel, forgiveness. Same gospel, healing. And there's actually more, but that's what we're focused on today in Healing School. Now, I want you to go to Numbers, the 21st chapter. And I'm going to go through what I term a picture of Jesus. I believe that God dealt with Abraham in such a manner that he laid out for us the promise of Jesus, the promise of Messiah coming. And then, in his dealings with the children of Israel, he painted a picture of Jesus. But praise God, Jesus came, and now we get to see the person of Jesus, just like the people did when he walked on this earth. How do we see it? Through his word. So we're going to read this picture of Jesus, and you're going to see here also, same gospel, same good news, forgiveness and healing. So let's pick up in verse 4. Then they set out from Mount Hor by way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient because of the journey. Now, I know there's no one here who's ever been impatient, is there? I'm going to put my hands behind my back because they keep wanting to rise up. But what happens when we become impatient? Well, we're not satisfied with what's going on. We may get frustrated, and I like to think of frustrated without hope, and that certainly can't define you and I because He is our hope. We have a living hope. So the people became frustrated because of all they were going through. And let me just say, all they were going through was because of their problems. What they had done, how they had not believed what the Lord told them. And then, as will often happen, when we get frustrated, when we get impatient, our mouth takes over. And out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart, it flows out of our mouth. Now, in this case, it wasn't good because look what they said. The people spoke against God and Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? For there's no food, no water, and we loathe this miserable food, manna. Now here they've seen their God provide water out of rocks, provide manna, provide quail, and they're still just complaining. They're not satisfied at all. Now what happened in the old covenant where they had no promise of forgiveness of sins as we do? Because what do we know? Jesus paid that price once and for us all. So everyone out there, the price for your sin has been paid for. There's nothing else that Jesus will ever do to pay for that sin that we have. He's not going to get back up on the cross. What we have to do is receive it. So in the next verse, the judgment of the Lord came upon them. And verse 6 says, and the Lord sent fiery serpents. Now let me stop there. I had the opportunity on a couple of occasions to play golf on desert golf courses out in the Phoenix, Arizona area. Very hot. Fiery hot. Beautiful golf courses until you stepped about as far from me to this podium off the what? Off of the grass. And what happened? As soon as you stepped off that grass, you were in the desert. And there were signs there. And of course, I never hit a ball out of the fairway, so I didn't have to do it. But the sign said, don't go past here because there are venomous snakes. Now, I did help some friends. And if truth be told, I would probably say one of my balls may have gone over there. But you know what? When we walked over there, I never saw a single snake. But what did I know? They were there. I just didn't see them. And I believe that's what happened here, as they're out in the same kind of desert, that the snakes were in those rocks, they were hiding in the crevices. And what did the Lord do? He had His hand of protection over them, but when they sinned, they stepped out of that protection. And when they did, the snakes came as judgment for that. So the snakes came. Now, why did they come? Because of sin. And look what the snakes did. They bit people so that many people of Israel died. So there was a consequence of their sin that impacted their physical bodies, their well-being. Now look at verse 7. So the people came to Moses and they said, we've seen the bright light. We have sinned and we've spoken against the Lord. And we spoke against you, Moses. And now they're asking Moses, intercede with the Lord. And we got to remember too, they couldn't go into the presence like you and I can. What do? We boldly step into His presence to take mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. But they couldn't do that. So they asked Moses, would you intercede so that the Lord might remove these serpents from us? What are they asking for? They're asking for forgiveness and they're asking Moses to play that intercessor role. And it says in the last part of that verse, he did. And then in verse 8, the Lord speaks to Moses. And he says, you make a fiery serpent, a bronze serpent. Bronze meaning what? Sin. And then also the serpent being sin. But what happened in the bronze instruments around the altar? That's where the offerings were made and where things were judged instead of the people being judged. So it's judgment and sin being raised up, and set it on a standard or a pole. And it shall come about when that pole is raised up with that bronze serpent on it, that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he'll live. So I want to ask you a question. We see, and we're going to see, that people who looked at it, it says they were healed, which we all believe. But what was being lifted up and taken away from the people? Their sin. That's where this started. And what resulted from that sin being removed from them? A picture of what we have in Jesus today. Their sickness was removed. In verse 9 says, he made that bronze serpent and he set it on a standard, and it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when they looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. And so what do we see here? We have a picture of Moses at the instruction of the Father dealing with sin and all of its impact. So when sin was taken away, what else went with it? The impact of those serpents on the people. So again, this is a picture of Jesus. Same gospel. Sickness coming with sin. Sickness leaving when that sin is removed by the act of the Lord here. Same gospel, same good news. Now let's see this. We've looked at it in this picture. Let's see it in the life of Jesus. So go with me to Luke, the 5th chapter. Luke, the 5th chapter. And we're going to start reading. I'm going to read you verse 15, and then we'll jump down and start at 17. Now, you could teach the remaining 30 minutes on this, but we're going to just kind of hit the high points of it. Verse 15 says, the news about him was spreading even further. And great multitudes were gathering to hear him and to be what? Healed of their diseases. So we see this pattern over and over. It is the Lord's will. He displayed the will of the Lord. Now let's go to verse 17. So it came about one day that he was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. Now, these are the same people that often criticized him for healing. And isn't it interesting that they were willing to come, probably so they could offer criticism? They were, in effect, exhibiting more confidence in healing coming forth from a meeting than a lot of believers do today. But this phrase, the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. Do you know that that power was always present with Jesus to perform healing? And it is that same power who dwells in us. It's that same power who, as we even read these words, is transmitted over the airways. Distance is nothing to God. The same anointing flowing through from these words. And then we keep reading. And it says in verse 18, and behold, some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they were trying to bring him in and set him down in front of him. Let me tell you, we all need four crazy friends like these people. And those are people who you can say, that's my faith buddy, somebody you can call and say, tell me what I need to know. But they were convinced that if they brought Jesus in, and I don't want you to think of this as a stretcher like we see rolled in the back of an ambulance or anything. This was probably just a mat of some time that they had four corners on. And so they were so convinced that if they could get to Jesus and put this man in front of them, that he would heal them. Why were they so convinced? Because they'd seen it happen over and over and over. Why don't we have that same confidence? No condemnation now. We're all growing in this. I'm talking to myself as well. And so they couldn't get him in. But what would we have done? Boy, it's hot out here and we ain't got no way. I guess we go back. Or the man may have said, I guess this is not my lucky day. Or there's too many people in there. I don't want to be amongst all that people. Or we might have to wait. They did none of that. What did they do? Go to the next verse. But not finding any way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up to the roof and let him down through the tiles with his stretcher into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. Now, not only did they have to have confidence, but I'm going to tell you, if I had been on that stretcher, I'd have had to have some confidence too. Because it's not a stretcher again, it's just a rug. And there's a lot could happen when you start lowering a rug with ropes tied to four corners. I mean, if that thing slipped, I'm coming out on top of Jesus. So, this next verse, I say that to say, seeing their faith. Now, what did he see? He saw that determination to get this man before him. And look at what Jesus told him. Friend, your sins are forgiven you. Now, we need to understand that in Jesus' day, they could understand miracles, but they couldn't understand forgiveness of sins. Why? Because it was an act of something they had to do year after year after year. Really, sin after sin, as they would take individual sin offerings. But for you and I, that's not the case. Now, having the confidence in Jesus that he did, I've often wondered, was this man discouraged? And I personally don't believe he was, because forgiveness of sins was such an important issue for them, again, year after year. Next verse. And the scribes and the Pharisees begin to reason, saying, who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now, I can understand them asking that question, but let's put ourselves in Jesus' place. He knew what he was coming to the earth to do. And do you see here, all he's doing is calling things that be not as though they were? He is acting on his faith of what he knows God has called him to do in this world for all men. 22. Jesus, aware of their reasonings, answered and said to him, what are you reasoning in your hearts? And continue, which is easier to say? Oh, I like this. I am so glad the Holy Spirit put that word in there. He didn't say which one's harder. Which one is easier to say? Your sins have been forgiven you, or rise up and walk, or get up and walk. What is he telling us? That for him and what he was about to do on the cross, one is not more difficult than the other. Can I say it one more time? Forgiveness and healing are the same gospel. The same gospel. 24. But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority, and you say, now, let's just stop. You say, yeah, Jesus had that authority. Well, do you remember what the end of Matthew tells us? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So, you go. What's he saying? You go in that same authority that I have. So we can't look at Jesus and say, yeah, but he had authority, because we see in Scripture, we do too. And he said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up, pick up your stretcher, and go home. Verse 25, and immediately he got up before them, picked up what he had been lying on, and he went home. Now, before we move off of this verse, do you remember what I said to you earlier? You'll never find in any of Jesus' ministry that they were glorifying God for the sickness. But what is God being glorified for here? The healing. And it's not just the healing, the forgiveness of sins as well. I imagine amongst the man and his four crazy buddies that there was some discussion. Man, you got healed, but man, you've already had your sins forgiven by Messiah. You don't have to. I mean, can you imagine the joy in them? And guess what? That same goodness is available for you and I today. So here are these two again. Good news, healing and forgiveness. Now I want us to go back to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. And we're going to look at this redemptive chapter. I like to think about this chapter in this manner. You could look at the cross and you could see all the marring of the body, all the stripes that Jesus took, the crown of thorns and that impact on his head where he bled from all those seven places that, and we didn't even talk about them all. But what you couldn't see was what was going on in the spirit realm. And that's what this shows. So to me, it's kind of like an MRI or a CAT scan of what's going on inside you when all you can see is the outside. This chapter starts by asking the question, who has believed our report? And in the previous chapter, he has talked about that he's going to be high and lifted up, the snake, the serpent made of bronze. And he was going to go through so much punishment that what? That his face was almost marred beyond recognition as a man. That's what they're asking. And then he says, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? So he's saying, what we're about to say to you is exactly what is going on with Jesus. Now let's jump down to verse 4. Surely, this says, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. And in verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. Now, let's back up to verse 4. This verse has caused more issues than you can shake a stick at, because people want to say he's talking about everything in your spirit. He's talking about heavenly things here. The word griefs in the Hebrew is the word choli, C-H-O-L-I. And it's used like 24 times. 20 of those 24 times, it's translated sickness or disease. So as Young's Literal, a guy who wrote his own version of the Old Testament from the Hebrew, who understood it that well, he says literally, surely he has borne our sicknesses. And then the phrase, and carried our sorrows. That's the word spelled M-A-K-A-B, macabre. And it means pains. Now, translators, for some reason, in this chapter, would not translate it the same way. And it's because it's not just today that our people didn't believe in healing. It's in years gone by where they didn't have the courage, I believe, to translate it in the correct manner. Let me read you the Amplified with this. It says, surely he has borne our griefs. And then it says what that means. Sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, including the mental aspect of it too. And he's carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. And do we understand that sickness came as a punishment for Adam's sin? That's its origin. Yet we, now don't get offended with that word, yet we ignorantly considered him stricken. Now why I say don't get offended with it? You may be out there listening and have never heard of what we're talking about today. In fact, I believe that's one of the reasons the Lord told me to teach this is because we were going to have some people joining in this live stream who've never heard this good news of both forgiveness of sins as well as healing. Now, Paul said concerning some things, I did some things ignorantly. It wasn't willful, he just didn't know. And that's the way a lot of us have been and still are today. So it says, we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten of God, as if God was going to punish him. And then it adds, as if he had leprosy. Now, let me take this opportunity. What is leprosy a sign of? It's a sign of a punishment put on someone in the Old Testament for sin. And there's a picture that we could use, but we don't have time to go by that today. So this says in verse 5, if you'll go back, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities, willful sins, things we didn't know about. The chastisement, he was punished, because that literally means to be inflicted with blows, needful to obtain peace and well-being, was upon him. And with the stripes on his back and the blood that flowed from it. Now see that picture. We are healed and made whole. Now do you want to see a New Testament commentary on this? Let's look at 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24, same gospel cannot separate healing and the forgiveness of sins. How does this one start out? He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. So there is that taking the sins and taking them unto himself and being punished for it. But glory to God, he was what? He was raised up from the dead, and it's in that image that we are raised up with him. Not the Jesus who walked the earth, but Jesus, the resurrected Messiah. And then it says that we might live for righteousness. So we know we've been made, we've been put in right standing with God. But look at this last phrase. By whose stripes you were healed. Do you realize that when we say, Jesus, please heal me, that he's not going to do anything additional? Just like he's not going to do it with sin? Because the same gospel of what he accomplished on that cross with his resurrection has provided us everything we need in this earth for life and godliness. Now, I know it's not good English, but we saw in the Old Testament, I was healed. And here in the New Testament, we see I were healed. We need to see ourselves in this. Now, let me just jump down and let's just talk frankly about some stuff. There are people looking, and I know most of you here, so I'm hoping none of you here are saying this, but there are people who are looking and who have said, as I have, but that's not what I experienced. So we have a choice to make, don't we? I said to you earlier that the people saw Jesus present the heart of the Father when he walked on this earth. But I also said what? We too have that same assurance in God's word. So I have a choice to make. I mean, and people may even say, look, Aunt Essie and Uncle Charlie, they were good people, and they both had this or that, and they didn't get healed. So we have a decision to make. Are we going to let the world influence us to where we make excuses for God's word and bring it down to the earth level? Or are we going to say, this is what the word of God says. I believe it. Therefore, I am taking my experience and I'm coming up to the Lord's level. And isn't that what Jesus tells us in Revelation? Come on up. That's what he wants us to do, to walk with him in this manner. We've got to elevate our experience to God's word, not bring it down. Now, let me just say, I just sense that there are some people looking now who maybe are hearing this for the first time. And you're getting hope. You know, where you are, there's nothing else that Jesus needs to do. All you need to do is believe it. You can just reach out and take your healing. And you can see it manifest in your body now. Now, we'll pray for you at the end. But you do not have to wait. If that faith rises up, be like that woman with the issue of blood. Go and just take it from him. You don't even have to touch the hem of his garment. He's provided it to you already. So I want to kind of close by us looking in the first chapter of Mark at an account of healing there. And I want to look at this one because I know there are people who will say, I know God is powerful. I know he can heal, but I just don't know that he'll heal me. Or maybe they say, I know he can heal and I know he saved me, but you don't know what I've done. And what I would say to you is, you don't have yet the full revelation of the blood of Jesus and how powerful it is. Because I can tell you, that blood that came out of those stripes on his back purchased everything regarding healing that you or I would ever need. So here we are. Jesus comes. He's out ministering. In fact, if you look before this, there's other healings that have gone on. And a leper comes to him, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him. So a man is coming humbly. He's not coming to him saying, you got to do this, Lord. You got to do this, Lord. And the Lord is saying to back to some people like that, I've already done it. Why don't you just take it? But he's coming humbly because he's sincere. He says, if you are willing, and let me add my interpretation of this, I know you can make me clean. So this man knows the power of God. What does he not know? If it's available to him. He hasn't seen himself healed. He wants it real bad. But wanting it real bad doesn't bring it upon us. Now, the next two verses that we're going to read should cause everyone to begin rejoicing. Because you're going to see in these verses that if he heals this man, he has obligated himself to do the same for you and I. Look at verse 41. Here we are again, moved with compassion. Now that's a huge long word, about 14 or 15 letters in the Greek. That means to yearn from within. It actually was used for kidneys in old Hebrew writing, Greek writings. But it's down deep in us where our spirit man is. Moved with compassion, that love of God, that mercy, that covenant loving kindness. Jesus stretched out his hand. Now this is important too. Because the leper wasn't even supposed to be approaching him. He was supposed to say, unclean, unclean, and stand away. Yet he wanted it, and he heard so much about Jesus, he was willing to put himself at risk. You know, there's a lot of people, and I'll say this to both people here and you looking, who you want healing real bad, but it's like you're afraid to step out on that fact because you don't want to get disappointed. And I'm going to tell you, he's a firm foundation that we can step out on. That word, he won't disappoint you. So, what happened to people in the old covenant who touched a leper? They became unclean. But here, see, we're seeing the exact reverse. Jesus reaches out his hand and he touches him and he says to him, I am willing. Now, you missed a good chance to shout right there. I am willing, be cleansed. Next verse. Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. I would submit to you that if Jesus did it for this man, he will do it for you or I, because he's obligated himself in the Word. Let's look at two verses, and we'll do it fairly quickly. I want you to go to Hebrews, the 13th chapter, the 8th verse. And I can show you two or three others that say the same thing, talking about God changing not. But this one says, of our Jesus, of our Messiah, of my Messiah. And that's the personal aspect that you need to have. Just like when we read Psalm 91, because Minton has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. Look at what this says. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. That means his will in this day that we've just read about is the same for you and I today. And you know what? It'll be the same tomorrow. The Lord our God, he changes not. And you say, yeah, but I still am not sure about me. I mean, I believe in the power of the forgiveness of sins, but is he really willing to heal me with what I've done, with where I am? Look at Romans 2:11. And this is also a verse that I can show you two or three more, just like it. Because it says, for there is no partiality with God. Put that in our words, he's not going to do something for this man or for you that he won't do for me. Now, if he's the same and he had no partiality then what do we know today? That he will. One translation, I believe it's the Living Bible, Jesus responds this way when the man says, I know you can, I just don't know if you will. He says, why, of course I will. Absolutely. Saints, the same gospel that gives us eternal life has provided help to us right here and now, today. That's the assurance. Now, it just rose up inside me as I was saying that. There's just somebody out there who's saying, yeah, but I'm not a believer yet. Well, let me just tell you, Jesus healed a lot of people who wasn't believers when they started. But you know what? We can take care of that right now. So before I pray for you online, I want to just lead you in a prayer, and I'd ask all of you just to follow with me. Because I'm convinced there's someone out there who is saying, yeah, but I'm not saved. Well, we're going to remedy that. So confess this. Lord Jesus, I receive what you purchased on the cross for me. I believe God sent you to take my sin away, and with it, you took my sicknesses and diseases. So today, I declare that I am born again, a new being, that I now have eternal life with you. And Jesus, I also now receive my healing from you, whatever it is, in Jesus' name. So, Father, I thank you for that person that has prayed that. For those that are out there that maybe already knew you and maybe weren't just so sure, I just thank you that Holy Spirit is ministering to them where they are, that word, putting it deep inside them. And so right now, we speak healing to them. We declare that the Word of God says He Himself has healed us. And we receive that today. Father, I just ask you to continue to allow them to pour over this word and the other words that we've taught at Healing School, that others have taught, so that they get so much word in them that there's no room for the disease. They get so filled up with your word because you said your word heals us. And so we give you glory today, Jesus, for all you're doing, not just here in this building with us, but all over the world as people look at this. And we give you praise, and we give you glory, and we give you honor, because you are our healer. I want to encourage you again, if you're in Macon and you have an opportunity, come meet with us. There is something special about a corporate anointing, about being here in this environment. And so take the opportunity to come be with us at 10:30. Here at High Point Church. But if you can't, then join us again this, because you can get full of the Word. You can go to the website at High Point and hear many teachings. You can go on Facebook and see every Healing School that we've taught the past 13, 14 months. So take advantage of that and fill yourself with the Word of God. And we look forward to for you giving us testimonies. That person who was born again, write in, put a comment onto the line, appropriate place in Facebook, and let us know. If you've got prayer requests, submit those to us as well, and we will be happy. In fact, it'll be our honor and privilege to pray over them. So join us again next week at this same time, and you'll hear another great teaching on healing, and you'll see it's ours to receive, just like forgiveness of sins was. We bless you. Have a great day.